paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome into Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Tonight, we have absolutely nothing to talk about. So I think what we'll do, because of the lack of things to talk about...
It's time to talk about advanced statistics, and we're not talking about hockey.
I was actually thinking about talking about Broadway shows, since Hamilton is in town.
I have tickets tomorrow.
You're going
it's
to see
fun.
It tomorrow night. Now, we're going to take a look back. Well, you know what? Honestly, throw out the rundown. Everything I'm about to say is a steaming pile of crap because it's not going to happen. We are going to talk to Greg Wyszynski from ESPN.com. We're going to look ahead to the Preds' trip to the Windy City as Blackhawks radio play-by-play man John Weideman's going to join us tonight, and he's got some experience with our story for today. So, brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, and the latest addition to the Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host, as always. Our former NHL coach and player, Brent Peterson. Coach, how are you today?
It's good to be back. I haven't seen you guys in a month now.
I know. You've been gone for a little while. And, of course, the host of the Preds Watch Parties. We've got a big one coming up this Sunday, right?
And Thursday. Yeah, well, double dose this week.
A couple of good watch parties coming up. Zach McCann joining us. And, obviously, boys, we're minus a coach right now.
First time in Nashville Predators history, they have fired a head coach. If you recall, Barry Trotz's contract was not renewed. He was not fired. This is the first time the Predators have lost a coach midseason, and we are looking at the third ever coach in franchise history.
So we spent most of pregame here talking about how we're going to address this. So I'm going to declare this the speculation segment. Okay, and we're going to speculate on who the next head coach is going to be of this Nashville Predators. And I'm going to start off, okay? But, well, first off, I do want to start off by saying thank you. I want to say thank you to Coach Peter Laviolette. Coach Laviolette brought this team, as you tweeted out a little earlier, Zach, brought this team to unknown heights, taking it to a Stanley Cup final, giving us the belief that that cup actually had a capability of being marched down Broadway. That's thanks to Coach Peter Laviolette. And I just want to say, from my perspective, just a nice guy, an incredible family. So, you know, to the boys, to Elizabeth, to Kristen, we love you. And, you know, coaches are hired to be fired, unfortunately, Coach Pete. And here we are.
Unfortunately, it's a winner. You got to win in this league, and if you don't win, and you're going to be fired sooner or later. But I gotta say the same thing that you just said. Coach Laviolette was always good to me. He was treated me with respect, and it's been a real. It's too bad you have to do it in the middle of the season. I don't think they thought that the players had played up to par, and you can't fire all the players like you said, hey, Zach. You can't fire everybody. So I mean, Peter and Kevin get the brunt of it, but they've done great things for the city of Nashville.
Indeed.
And they took the team to another level. And even without guys, we're hurt then. So things have just fallen by the wayside here, and we got to get regrouped and get it going. But it's too bad that you have to fire a coach to get it done.
You know, I mean, what's the old adage? When you're hired to be a boss, you prepare three envelopes.
Yeah.
And he just
opened his third one, unfortunately, yeah.
And that's kind of what you're seeing here. And make no mistake, you know, Chase McCabe mentioned this, a scant hour ago on Preds Insiders, but it's a very salient point. This firing is not the fault of Peter Laviolette. He certainly had a part in it.
Sure.
This firing is a fault of everyone in the Nashville Predators organization because this team, frankly, did not live up to expectations this year so far. There is still time, but make no mistake, this is a reflection on Peter Laviolette. This is a reflection on the coaching staff. This is a reflection on the upper management of the Predators, and this is a reflection on the players for the Nashville Predators.
Can't say it any clearer than that. And Coach, take us inside. Have you been part of an organization where the head coach has been fired?
I've never been part of an maybe as a player way back. I can't remember my playing days, though, because it's been so long ago since I played. So.
You hit the head.
It can either be a real push and a real help to your organization, or it can be a real downer. And most of the times it's a downer because – so I hope it's not that way with us. But most of the time they have a real push for a few games, and then they just slide right back where they were. And I think that our guys certainly can be better. Arvidsson, Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, they can all be better. I mean, Bonino's line's leading the way for us now. And so the players have to be a big part of this.
It's true.
And they got to make sure that they look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, we just got our coach fired. And that, look, Kristen Laviolette, she did amazing things for the community.
Oh, yeah.
And it's too bad that a coach has to be fired. That's why I said it earlier. A coach has to be fired to get it done. David just had no more room to wiggle. I don't know. You know, if St. Louis hadn't done it last year, I don't know whether David would have done it, because now they think that, like, Pittsburgh changed their coach, they won the Stanley Cup.
They've done it twice.
Yeah, St. Louis changed their coach, they won the Stanley Cup.
So I'm sure that's the thing, but you know what? Here is the biggest thing. You know, Adam Gretz of NHL and NBC tweeted out something that I thought was especially prescient. He said, goalies are the ultimate coach killers and the rightful winners of the Jack Adams Award every year. And if you look at it statistically, the bottom four teams in save percentage in the NHL, the New Jersey Devils, the Nashville Predators, the San Jose Sharks, and then you have the Red Wings, who are actually trying to lose. But still, three out of those four, their coaches were fired.
And that's the way what we're at right now. So, but if you look at this now, and I do want to spend the next couple of minutes, I did declare this the speculation segment, so let's
Who's
go
next?
Here. So, I mean, you look down the list of available coaches, ones that have NHL experience.
Right.
The first one that always jumps out is Mike Babcock. I think we can throw that name out immediately.
Yeah, we don't have $6 million a year to pay him.
That's a good point. The second, well, Toronto would be paying some of that, though.
Yeah, they'd be paying, yeah.
Yeah, but...
he could make a dollar and stuff
damage
like
cuts.
It.
But let's look at, I mean, you know, you look at the ones that are obviously are probably not available, you know, not available or not one that you want to hire, as in a Bill Peters or a, you know, or... a Jim Montgomery, obviously.
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett would be another one. But you had to get the cowboy thing in there, didn't you?
Yeah, you know.
So anyway, I mean, you know, this is the guy that showed up at AT&T Stadium decked out in Eagle garb on January 2nd. So anyway. but let's look at some of the coaches that may be in the mix. You know, we've heard the name Peter DeBoer.
Yeah.
Even though Elliot Friedman is saying that he hasn't been contacted. Yeah, that and $4 will get you a latte at Starbucks. But the one name I think that you're hearing more and more and more is former New Jersey Devils head coach John Hyans. Coach, I mean, it's interesting that a coach that, you know, had some difficulty managing the talent in New Jersey. I mean, you know, you hear great things about him.
Yeah. Well, you hear it from the upper management.
Right.
So. I don't know about players, but you hear from, you know, Tom Fitzgerald and Ray Sherrill that this guy is a tremendous coach, and that's why he waited so long to fire him, but he couldn't fire all the players again, and he had to fire one guy, and they're not doing any better, are they, since he got fired?
No, they aren't.
There's one thing that if you're a bad team, you're not just going to – we have a chance to really do well, but a bad team like New Jersey just doesn't have a chance at all. No matter who's coaching them.
No, you're right. So what other names, Zach, do you think?
I mean, obviously, you know, the big ones that everyone's talking about are Pete DeBoer, John Hines.
Phil Housley.
I think that that's certainly a possibility. You know, come home, Phil. The one that I think is an interesting dark horse, and he's been mentioned as someone who's searching a head coaching gig, is former Predators assistant coach Lane Lambert. I think he'd be a good match for this organization. I think it would be really interesting. Now, seeing an assistant coach get promoted from another team in the middle of the NHL season is certainly unorthodox, but so is David Poile firing coach.
It's happened lots. Joel Quenneville was assistant coach in Colorado, and then he got the job in St. Louis midway through the year when they fired the coach, and that's when Quinney took off his
no question.
I will say this, though. I do think that this isn't a case where I think we can all agree this is probably not an interim situation. I think if it was an interim situation, you would have seen an announcement tonight.
Exactly, with Carl Taylor being an interim coach.
But the thing is with me, wouldn't it be nice to see a guy who hasn't been recycled through the NHL grinder come up and do something?
Yes and no.
Because honestly, the problem is, at the end of the day, if you're hiring someone who was a coach this year or last, you are hiring someone who was just fired for being bad at their job.
You know what? I see what you're saying. But
the players are still the ones you put on the ice. And if you got 20 players and that's all you got to put them on the ice. And they got to do the job for you. So you just mentioned the goaltenders not doing their job, being the bottom fourth of the of the save percentage. That's not good. Save percentages is something the goalie can control himself if he stops the puck. But he can't control it if you have no defense.
Wise words from the coach. That's I like that. He controls the save percentage because he stops the puck. That's telling you.
We're off and running.
They don't call me the best.
They call me the best in the business for nothing. And we are off and running on this rather historic day in Pred Nation. If you hadn't heard by now, what rock have you been under, or maybe you just tuned in, head coach Peter Laviolette has been relieved of his duties along with assistant coach Kevin McCarthy, and apparently there's a press conference tomorrow morning, I guess, announcing whatever. We're just not sure. So, you know, they have been with us since day one of the show, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Boy, what a great staff, a comfortable environment. They do make it a lot easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. And you know what? If that wasn't enough, they got everything in dental technology, in office, waiting. I mean, it's just great stuff. It's so comfortable over there. Check out their website, WeBrightonSmiles.com, or call for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Nice choice, Max. I like it. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Elliot Friedman tweeting out just about an hour ago. At this time, the Predators say the head coach for tomorrow versus Boston is to be announced.
And I think coach to be announced is going to be really, really good for this team.
Do you think so?
You know, I haven't seen TBA really do anything lately, but he's been on the bench for a while, and I just feel like we're waiting
five
for
on fives.
A little bit, you know.
Well, we'll have to see how coach to be announced does, but you know what? I think someone that has will have an interesting take on this always, and believe it or not, we actually had him scheduled for this show, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, and we figured that this guy would be perfect. The one and only from ESPN.com, our good friend Greg Wojcicki. Mr. Wojcicki, how are you this evening?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us, and now I was going to ask you a little bit about your experience of the Winter Classic and all that stuff, but obviously, the tongues wagging around the NHL are surrounding Nashville right now and who the next head coach of the Nashville Predators is going to be. Now, we had our speculation segment last segment, but I do want to ask you, who do you think it's going to be?
No idea.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, we have coach to be announced, and we have coach no idea. I like this. Okay.
Apparently, David Poile is announcing coaching changes like Gary Bettman announces Winter Classics, where you get, 60% of the information you actually need for the event.
We know there's going to be a Winter Classic, and now we know that it's in Minnesota. We just don't know who's going to be playing Minnesota in that.
So we know someone got fired, and we know when they got fired, but we have no idea who the next coach might be, despite them having a game the following night. Look, you could look at this situation in one of two ways, which is that they're just going to move either Lambert or Muse into the job because it's all happening so quickly and you just need someone behind the bench and maybe you do that in the short term until you find the guy you really want. Or, this move happens with David Poile already having had someone lined up to take over the team, that we simply don't know about. I mean, as many people will tell you, David Poile and the Nashville Predators run a very, very tight ship when it comes to information leaking out of the front office, so it's not a surprise we don't know more than we know right now. But again, there are a number of coaches that are on the open market. I saw Pete DeBoer say he hasn't been contacted yet. Obviously, he's a name. I think Mike Babcock is someone who is going to be pretty fat and happy with the money he's owed by the Leafs for the next couple of years Plus, he'd have to do some image rehab before taking his new job as well. The one name that's out there that's very interesting is John Hines, the former head coach of the New Jersey Devils. Very, very highly regarded guy in coaching circles. Someone that if you ask around, people feel like got a raw deal in Jersey insofar as, you know, them not having the personnel for him to work with. And then obviously, as has been reported, he does have a relationship with Jeff Keatley, the assistant GM with the Predators, going back to their playing days at Boston University. So, you know, just some names to throw out, but until we hear from David Foyle tomorrow morning, I don't think any of us really know what the next step's going to be.
You can read him on ESPN.com. He's Greg Wyszynski. Zach?
Hey, Greg, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on tonight. So obviously you were kind of, you know, a little close by to Pete DeBoer as you now are in San Jose, as I recall it. So tell me, what is it about his style, and do you think he is a fit for this Nashville Predators team?
I do. I think the great thing about Pete DeBoer is that he's someone who has a track record of immediate success. He had that in Florida. He obviously had it in New Jersey, where they went to the Stanley Cup final in his first year there. It was sort of an anomaly, given his history, that the Sharks had success immediately when he was there, and then a couple of years later actually went to the Cup final. He's somebody – I have a ton of respect for Pete DeBoer. I think he's a really good coach, does very good coaching – teams with some talent on it, which obviously the Predators have. It would be ironic if Pete DeBoer went from one situation in which he lost his job because the team couldn't stop the puck to another situation where the guy just lost his job because the goalies can't stop the puck. But he's a pro, and this would be his fourth NHL team. I know that a lot of people see that and roll their eyes and think retread, but you know, you spend a few years in one spot, you find some success, and then the team decides to go in another direction. It's just how things work in this league, and I don't think it speaks poorly on DeBoer. If you look at his track record, it's one of the best of the coaches that are available.
So, Greg, this is Brent Peterson. I just wanted to thank you for coming on again, and I just wondered, you know, you said that the goaltender hadn't made any saves. Do you think that's the main reason why our team is sort of underachieved here in Nashville, or is it other reasons that we don't score, things like that? You've seen us play a lot, so what's your take on that?
Yeah, I feel like the goaltending has been the reason why they've been treading water. I mean, one of the main reasons why Laviolette got turf is because the team simply just can't seem to find consistency, can't find footing, can't put together a string of those wins. And there are two reasons why that hasn't happened. The first is the goaltending. I mean, they've got the third worst team save percentage in the league. Pekka Rinne has been sort of a weird anomaly. He's got a really good even strength save percentage because the Predators overall have been very good at 5-on-5, but not good on the penalty kill. And then Juuse Saros, I think, has just had a bum year. I mean, he's not been very good. I think he's 51st in the league right now in goals saved above average, meaning if you threw an average goalie into his situation, I think, you know, you'd pretty much have the same results he's given you this year, and that's really held them back. But like I mentioned, the other thing, too, besides the goaltending has been that penalty kill, and it must torture David Poyle to finally have a power play that's kind of trending upward a little bit, still bottom 10 in the league, but at least has a heartbeat. And then you look at that penalty kill, and you know, whatever you're scoring on the power play gets completely subverted by what's happening on the kill. And you know, it speaks to the sort of the conundrum that is this firing, in my opinion. I'm writing about this on ESPN right now. Yes, the team has middling results, and yes, it's not in a playoff spot, and yes, Laviolette's been there for a long time, and I'm sure there's a lot of Predators fans that want to see him go to see if the team can turn their season around a little bit. But, you know, the team is great at 5-on-5. And if you look at it, it's the penalty kill and the goaltending that has completely subverted everything they've done. And does that fall on Peter Laviolette necessarily? And I'm not sure that it does.
Interesting take on this. So, Greg, I do want to turn attention to a little bit. I know you just spent some time in Dallas at the Winter Classic. Your impressions of the game at the Cotton Bowl and just your overall impression of the event itself.
Oh, I loved it. It was one of my favorite Winter Classics and one of my favorite outdoor games that we've had. I would put it in the top five for sure, with the acknowledgement that the Big House in Michigan is my favorite. I also have a soft spot in my heart for the one in Dodger Stadium, just because of the uniqueness of the venue and because Kiss played there. But you know, the game itself was one of the best they've had. Having division rivals in the game, have it mean something, have the game be very competitive and have a little bit of controversy with the Corey Perry hit. And then all of the ancillary stuff was just a blast. I mean, you really, when you were there for the game, felt like they threw every idea they had at the wall to see what would stick. And what stuck, I guess, were pig races with pun hockey names like Alexander Ovechkin. So
and Roham Yossi, yes, we are.
Pork Arena.
Pork Arena, yeah.
Well, the one that we're all kind of pissed off about in the press box that they didn't do, you know, Dan Ham Hughes was right there. But what you could have done was you could have done Ham Dan Hughes. A complete twist on the name.
I like it,
and really made it good. But it was the spirit of that event. When you're there for it, it really can't be beat. It's a celebration of hockey. I know the TV ratings stunk. I'm upset about that. Everybody was always complaining about the Blackhawks being in these games. Well, they get one with two non-traditional markets, and they end up watching Alabama, Michigan.
Well, up against Michigan, Alabama. I mean, you know, that was just bad luck. Normally, the Citrus Bowl does not have Alabama in it.
But still, you know, if you're a Nielsen family or whatever, flip on the TV for a little bit so the Winter Classic gets some ratings. Because otherwise, you know, when we're stuck with the, you know, Blackhawks Penguins for the next 10 years, this is why. Because you didn't watch the game with the weird teams in it. So the event was great, and I appreciated it. And, you know, I wish it had turned out differently for the locals here in Nashville. But the game itself was a fun one to partake in.
You can read him on ESPN.com, good friend of the show, Greg Wyszynski. Greg, thanks so much for taking the time tonight. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll keep reading you on ESPN.com.
You got it. Thanks.
Greg Wyszynski, what a good guy. I like Greg. He's a good guy. And you actually got a little cocktail with him.
He knows his stuff.
Yes, he does.
He knows his stuff, and he knows the inside stuff, not just on the outside. He knows what's going on inside. And by the way, just for everybody's are we up against a
you got a few seconds.
I was just going to say that the Predators organization took everybody they could, and then you paid for other guests and that to come with you. But they are unbelievable. They had dinners afterwards. They had celebrations afterwards. Even though we lost the game, it was just it was well done by the Predators, and the Stars did a good job of organizing it. It was as good as Greg was, as he said it was.
Good.
You know, it's funny because Greg did bring up Corey Perry, and I'd like to talk about him for just 10 seconds.
You know what? Let's bring that up in the last segment because I have a funny feeling it's going to take you longer than 10 seconds.
Fair.
So anyway, we are back in just a few minutes. I do want to tell you about Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. You know, Carter, man, I tell you, what a great guy. Actually, I just shared a Facebook post of a new one that he just got on in Nolensville. The home looks absolutely beautiful. You got to check it out over at Arrington Retreat. Now, I'm telling you, Carter's a Navy vet, has the marketing experience you need to get your home sold in this fast-paced market. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate expert professional if you are buying or selling. We'll be right back. Uh-oh. Max going 80s on us. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game. We got John Weidman coming up in just a second here. You got Brent Peterson, the coach. You've got Zach McCann, the host of the watch parties. You got Paul McCann, your friendly neighborhood PA announcer. And we're all looking forward to tomorrow night, Boston coming in town. But then this kind of weird stretch of games continues for the Predators. You had the winter class. You had a back-to-back Pittsburgh, you know, here and in Pittsburgh, then to Dallas for the Winter Classic, then to the West Coast for a back-to-back in L.A. and Anaheim, then back here for one against Boston, then to Chicago, then to Winnipeg, then to Edmonton. My golly, the frequent flyer miles are going to be unbelievable over the next week and a half. But we do want to get it. You know, we haven't had this guy on in a little while. I love having him on the show. And he is the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks. He's the play-by-play man, the one and only John Weidman. John, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, glad to be on with you. I was just going to ask you, can you put me back on hold? I was digging that 80s music.
Max is just pulling it out.
That's our time there. That's our time. Yeah.
So, that was a great decade, man. I had a lot of fun in the 80s.
So, yeah, what I remember of it was a lot of fun, that's for sure. So
I spent most of it crying and soiling myself. But.
That's true. John, it's a shame we don't have anything to talk about tonight. Obviously, the change in head coach is the big news around Nashville. But there's a trip to Chicago coming up. And, you know, first off, I know I like you because I know that you know Coach LaViolette. And you've got a couple stories. I'd like you to share one of them with us.
Sure, I'd be happy to. First of all, I first met Peter when I was with the New York Islanders back in 2001. This is right after 9/11.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, you know, being in New York just weeks after the incident had taken place, Peter had just taken over the New York Islanders, who were a woeful franchise at that point, and he turned them quickly into a winner. I remember the Islander faithful, many of them were in mourning because they'd lost friends and loved ones, and the whole area was just in shock. So the Islanders, under Peter LaViolette, they get together for their first training camp, and he takes them out, and they were not on Long Island for camp. They were up in Lake Placid, and he got them into kind of an outward bound type of a scenario where they had to get together as a team and depend on each other and build trust and overcome these obstacles. And at first I thought that was kind of a little bit hokey, but then I thought to myself, no, actually that's not a bad idea, bringing the boys together, because, you know, not only will the boys have some fun, but it will bond them a little bit. And so they got through that. They went through a very successful preseason, and the regular season began, and the Islanders started out. By the way, I'm in an ice rink right now, so if you hear that din in the background,
I like it.
I mean, well, you know, what's a hockey guy do on his day off? He goes to an ice rink, right? anyway, so Peter got that Islander team off to a start of 11-1-1-1. It was an unprecedented start in the history of that franchise. And the Coliseum, that wasn't even a third full on a lot of nights, was packed for the home opener. And great crowds really throughout that season. The energy that season, you just could not believe. And they ended up getting back into the playoffs for the first time, and I think it was like 8 years. Peter was the head coach. He did a fantastic job with the Islanders. And I think to a large degree, he helped many of those people get past their grief and the burden of their loss. So I think that memory of Peter is probably at the top of the list for me. He had 2 years there. Mike Milbury was the general manager at the time, and I couldn't understand Peter being relieved of his job after the second season. I mean, the team struggled a little bit. They were one game above 500, but to me, Peter was the kind of a coach that, you know, he could get the guys through the adversity, and once they got to the other side, they'd be successful again.
So, John, questioning Mike Milbury is a Nashville pastime.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know, we get it.
Well, all right, now let's stop there just a second, because I work for Mike, and I respect Mike, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people don't know. Mike had to do the bidding of the owner.
The owner
meddled a lot in Long Island, mm-hmm. and Mike had to be the fall guy, and things were not fair to Mike at times, so I'm going to defend Mike. Mike's actually been a really good guy to me.
Of course.
Hey, guys, he's a down-to-earth regular guy. If you guys left the show and went to a nearby tavern, you know, Mike could probably buy you a round and regale you with some great stories.
So, hey, if the shoe is on the other foot, you know, I agree.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about let's turn the attention back to the ice right now, because all of a sudden, a team that a lot of folks, including a certain host of this specific show, had left for dead, is all of a sudden 7-3 in their last 10 and only 1 point behind your Nashville Predators. And I'm referring to those Chicago Blackhawks. What's the difference going on up there?
I think what's happened is they've gotten themselves through the very difficult process of growing as a team. I said before the season even began, because I had Blackhawk fans coming up to me and say, asking, you know, what's this team going to look like? And I said, guys, I said, before we get ahead of ourselves and say that we're going to get right back into the playoffs and we're going to win a couple of rounds, and they're going to do this, they're going to do that, I said, it's going to take a while for this team to gel, because there are a lot of new faces. There's some nice additions to this team, but it's going to take a while for them to gel. And they're probably going to have to go through some real painful moments. And they have. I think, and I told them, I remember telling those fans, I believe that this team is going to be a 500 hockey team until at least Christmas and maybe beyond. Well, you look at the record right now, you see that they're 19-18-6. And so for all intents and purposes, that's a 500 record. But the difference now compared to the difference of 2 weeks ago is now they're trending in a direction that lends itself or lends people to believe that they're going to be playing a lot more consistently as a team. They're paying more attention to their structure. They've been getting great goaltending, and I say that now after Robin Leonard was hurt. He's day-to-day. But Corey Crawford, a guy that's won two Stanley Cups for the team, is now the starting goaltender, kind of the de facto starter, if you can wrap your brain around that. And this team is rallying around Corey. So what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a team that's gone through the pain of formulating a cohesive unit, and now they're ready for some success. You mentioned it, 7 out of 10. They've won 3 of their last 4. They've won some big road games. They get Calgary tomorrow night. Calgary's going to be angry coming into that game because the Blackhawks beat them in Calgary and embarrassed them to a degree. So going to be very interesting these next couple of games. And by the way, the next 3, just like the one last night, are at the United Center. So if they can take advantage of home ice, they can put themselves in a very good position.
On the line on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game, with the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, John Weideman. Zach?
Hey, John. You know, I watched most of the game last night against Detroit, and I thought it was a pretty inspired effort by the Blackhawks. You know, they fall behind 2-0, come storming back, and score 4 unanswered. But I think the biggest moment of the night was probably for young Dylan Sekera getting his first goal. I mean, you could see the monkey coming off his back scoring that goal. Talk a little bit about what he's bringing to the team.
Yeah, Dylan Sekera, he got his first National Hockey League goal last night, and that wasn't a monkey, that was a gorilla. The gorilla came flying off. It's somewhere still flying around the top of the United Center. Dylan, last year, they gave him an excellent opportunity to make the team and stay with the team. He came up mid-season, and I can remember one game in Montreal against Carey Price. He moved in on Price and got away a terrific shot, and he hit the crossbar, right? And everybody in our side is going, oh, geez, Dylan, you know? And then later in the game, he and Brandon Saad have a 2-on-0 breakaway in on Price, and you're thinking, this is it, this is the moment. Well, Saad dishes the puck over to Dylan, and he's got a half-empty net, and he fires the puck and hits the post again. And so everybody left the building just shaking their heads, and, you know, before the season was out, Dylan hit about 6 more posts. So, you know, the thinking was the kid needs to go back down to the American Hockey League and work on his game. Well, he did. He was demoted to the American Hockey League out of training camp. He went down and he worked at his game. He didn't pout. You could tell when he left Chicago and went to Rockford, he was on a mission. And the Dylan Sekera that I saw yesterday in street clothes is a larger kid. And if you can kind of visualize a thin hockey player, like maybe a high school kid that hasn't hit the weight room yet and he's still in that growth stage, that was Dylan for the last couple of years. Well, he's been working out. He's been putting on some muscle, and he's been getting bigger. You can tell in his game he's more assertive. And Jeremy Colliton decided a couple of games ago that he was going to pull Alex Nylander out of the lineup and give Dylan Sekera a chance, and Dylan has made the most of it. So I concur with your thinking that was really a high point in that game last night. We also saw, here's one other thing, guys, that I'm going to throw out there on the pile. In the last couple of games, the Blackhawks' younger players, and I'm talking 24, age 24 and below, have been the ones that have really been contributing to the success of the team. Now, you can talk about Patrick Kane every single game, but what I'm seeing is that the kids that are 24 and below, the rookie players, the young players, have been contributing a lot. And what it's done is it's engendered a lot of confidence within them. And they feel like they're much more a part of the process, which is huge. You know, at midseason, if you've got young players, especially guys that are in their first year in the NHL, and they feel like they're a part of the team process, that's an enormous plus for a hockey team. And right now the Blackhawks have that.
He is the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, the one and only John Weideman. John, thanks so much for taking the time to join us tonight. And I'm sure that Pete Weber will be able to walk up to you and I don't know, maybe bring you a Goo Goo Cluster. I'm not sure what he'll do. But I know he's looking forward to seeing you. And we're looking forward to seeing you as well when you come down here to Nashville.
Oh, as always, I enjoy coming down there. And by the way, Pete will probably send me a great big carton of hot dogs that he does, like every time we come down there. I see them delivered to my broadcast position. I'm a big eater, so he looks at me and says, "Okay, get ready, big boy." they come.
But I'd want to make sure that he's bringing some of those good buffalo hot dogs with a Weber's horseradish mustard, right? Anyway.
That's the best.
John, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck going forward, and we'll see you down the line, okay?
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All righty. John Weideman from the Chicago Blackhawks joining us, and we will be right back to wrap up this rather interesting hour of Slapshot Radio. And, oh, by the way, don't go anywhere. Preds Insider is going to continue in the next hour talking more about the news of the day, the firing of Coach Peter Laviolette. We're right back on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Indeed, Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And
we could go on for hours here, Eric.
We could. And as a matter of fact, I think we are going to go on for hours. Chase McCabe and, my gosh, the he's everywhere Justin Bradford coming up in the next hour here on Slapshot Radio, continuing to talk about the news of the day. And if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, you need to be.
Here are reasons why.
Adam Vingan is really doing some good stuff today. Looks like he reached out to Coach John Himes, and no response whatsoever. Everybody else he's reached out to has been, "Oh, I haven't heard, I haven't heard, I haven't heard." Now, you're saying Elliot Friedman is bringing up another name, Zach?
Yeah, you mentioned Mike Vellucci, who is the current head coach of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in the AHL, which I thought was an interesting name, mostly because I'd never heard it before.
So, I've heard of him, but yeah. why would we hire him over Carl Taylor, who's right in our own organization? And David always promotes from within when he can. So I think it's going to be a former ex-coach who's been fired in the last few years. It's going to be somebody like John Hines or Pete DeBorg or somebody like that. That's going to, because they wouldn't, and they'd name him right away if it was
an interim, it'd be run.
Yeah. And then, of course, our good friend of the show, Jeff Merrick, just tweets out, "A coach gets fired, sir. Let's go have a look at the goalie save percentage." Oh, my. you can always count on Merrick.
As I said, you could, if the goalies stop the puck, they can control their own.
This is why I'm starting the campaign now.
That's it.
It's time to get Petey back behind the bench.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I got cuckoo on you.
Your official Slapshot Radio stance.
That's it. We're getting behind it right now. Slapshot Radio says, Petey 2020, that's it. Coach Peterson behind the bench. It would be crazy. It would be insane. It would be fun, that's for sure. So the interesting piece here, and this is something, again, in the 21 years of this franchise history, this is the first time this team has had this fan base has had a coaching change and that's almost astounding to me that this long into the tenure of an expansion team,
right,
that we haven't seen a change in midseason. Now, granted, a lot of that, I mean, is David Poile. We know that David Poile is very methodical, very thoughtful. Nothing happens on the spur of the moment.
But it's also a testament to the stability of this franchise.
True.
The fact that they have never really had a terrible, terrible season. The worst that this franchise has ever finished is fourth last, Yeah.
And it's funny because I know, Coach, we've talked about this a couple of times, that if you guys did a worse job in the first couple, we'd be better off right now.
Well, you're right. You're right there, but... We need another show for me to tell you all about the thing, how many times we thought we were going to get canned. I mean, there was several games that the owner was in town and David was lurking around. He says, "You guys got to have a good night tonight." And we had a good night that night. Just got lucky. We got very fortunate because we didn't win a lot of games early we didn't win no Vegas. We were no Vegas expansion team. But it was a great to try to grow and use your intelligence to try to help other people be better hockey players, better people. Barry Trotz, he spent hours and days with Radulov trying to get him to do this and do that. Look at the player Radulov turned into.
Yeah,
Barry Trotz had something to do with that. So, I mean, we were fired many times in the coach in the GM's mind, and we found a way to survive it. So, but like you said, the stability of David, and he's very, very sharp. He's very, very intuitive, and he helps build. Keep the organization under control there.
So the interesting piece comes is that I'm real curious, and we've all talked about this. I'm real curious to see how this new coaching staff will start managing the players, because I know there's a lot of pressure coming down on the top line,
right?
You know, especially on the Joffe line, and it's well deserved. But you know what? You know, we've talked about this, and we haven't said it on the air. I'm going to say it on the air. It's interesting now, because if you look at the amount of penalty kill time that top line has been out there, you wonder how much energy Zach was sapped by having to do so much penalty killing. I'm wondering if that's an impact on how these players are performing in what their primary role is.
I think you're going to see twofold things come out of this. Yes, absolutely. I think that Johansson and Arvidsson specifically being on the penalty kill, you can tell it's hard minutes. Playing on the penalty kill, those are hard minutes. But not only that, it makes you wonder about these players who came into Nashville as different players and then have struggled. Your Mikael Granlunds. To your extent, your Ryan Johansson.
Well, have they?
They haven't fit in under this previous coaching staff. Right. Is this the change that galvanizes your Kyle Turris's, your Granlunds, your Duchesne's, your Johansson's? Could this new coach, whoever he is, make these top six players live up to potential? And I'll be honest, do you still have Callie Yarncroke in your top six when you have your new regime come in? These are the questions that you have to answer, because there are certainly some young players in Milwaukee who are knocking down the door right now who could be brought up to come to the top six.
Well, they're already here. Trennan and that is – he's been –
those are your bottom sixes, yeah. Absolutely. But your skill players in Milwaukee, your Eli Tolvanen's who has come on recently of late, your Rem Pitlick's, ones who are that close to making it out of training camp – is this your opportunity now under a new regime? You don't have those loyalties to players that Peter Laviolette had.
Well, and I think you're going to see a different deploying of how the resources are being utilized right now, quite frankly. And, I mean, you look at that. I mean, because I always look at it and go, okay, we've got some good talent bubbling under. And I've always said, and Coach, I've heard you say this as well, that that upward pressure on the lines – I mean, does anyone in the top six really at this point feel threatened for their role? Maybe now, but, you know, 24 hours ago they didn't.
Yeah, with Bonino, everybody should look themselves in the mirror and say, I better be better or I'm not going to be playing. The only thing the coach has over a player is ice time.
Ice time, yeah.
Ice time. And if you want to play, you got to do the job. And right now, he's having to – if he picked the right players to play the last night and 2 games ago, it would have been Bonino every night. And even our fourth line with Trennan and those kind of guys, and then so.
And look, your third line's making $9 million total.
Yeah.
And you look at your top six.
So the Joffe line's got to get it going, and they can.
And the second line's got to get it going, too.
The second line's got to get it going. And the goaltending's got to be a little bit better. I don't think it's been as bad as Greg thought it was.
You're a sub 900 save percentage.
You're right, and they could stop the puck when they stop the puck.
Exactly.
Right?
You know what? I think a very wise coach once said that a goalie controls his save percentage. Mm-hmm. but again, you know what? This is the time to look at this now. This is the time when there is a new coach coming in. I think if you're bringing in the right guy. This guy's probably thinking about it as he's winging his way to Nashville right now or early tomorrow morning. He's making the notes. He's looking at the players. He's trying to figure out, how do I need to utilize these guys to make sure I get the most out of them?
Because let's be honest, this is an extremely talented roster.
Well, an extremely talented, underperforming roster. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's no question about that. And I think, and you know what? I don't think there could be anybody listening to this saying, oh, I don't know about that. And here's the thing, and I'm continuing to go here, and Zach's going to look at me like, oh, God, here he goes again. But the reality is this. With the games in hand, again, you got to win them, I know. But if you look at the points percentage this team's in the playoffs, now, you take advantage of your games in hand, they're in the playoffs. So this is a team that's close, and it's funny because when you hear everything and look of everything, this is a team that this may be that little push that gets them through where they need to be.
That's right, and that's why Pittsburgh did a long 10
Pittsburgh
years
did
ago.
It twice.
Yeah, Pittsburgh did it twice. I mean, a lot of teams have done it.
Yeah.
Who's your Bilesma? Who's your Sullivan? Who's your Berube?
And who's your daddy? Because there we go. We're done. So anyway, that's it. Another hour that you've wasted here on Slapshot Radio. We're back next Monday night. Oh, hey, wait a minute. We're back Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning hockey talk. We are going to be part of pregame next Sunday morning, 11 a.m. A big thank you to our guests, Greg Wojcinski and John Weideman. And we thanks to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and give them a big thank you. Hey, for our producer Max, our co-hosts Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying stay tuned. More hockey talk to come with Chase McCabe and Justin Bradford. And I'm saying good night and good hockey.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.